This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, here we go. Afternoon at 4:06, 76 degrees. So again, above the expected high by just a bit. And I understand there's some allegedly sunny conditions outside.
They're very sunny. Very sunny.
All right. I've been too busy to get outside since about noon. So.
Well, you ought to take a break once in a while and go out and see what the earth is doing.
If I take a break, then I will just be here longer. So that's kind of
it's good for you.
Oh, boy.
Well, good afternoon, Mike Winters and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. And I'll answer questions if you call 673-4464. And we'll get you right on the line, and we'll have a little discussion, but I'll talk about lawns, gardens, landscapes, you know, anything along those lines, trees, shrubs, ground covers, et cetera, et cetera. So I hope you're listening, and I hope you learn something from the pages of notes that I put together for this show.
So you said that you hope that they're listening, but if they're not listening, they wouldn't have heard you say you hope they're listening.
Well, there's all kinds of listening. There's listening, and then there's really paying attention listening, you know, so that kind of thing.
So basically what you're saying is that people should adjust their radio device to a louder volume.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good.
And if you've got big speakers in your vehicle, just as they say, crank it up.
Crank it up, baby. Crank it up. But I found a plant in my research that I had not heard of, believe it or not, and it's called the resurrection fern. It is a strange plant in that it can grow in soil or on top of other plants or rocks or other structures or a piece of wood and get moisture and nutrients, from the air, from the bark, from rainwater, all that kind of stuff. And they do prefer damp soil, but not waterlogged swamps, of course. And they can be grown in large containers. And during dry periods, the fronds curl up and they turn brown. They look dead. And you think, oh, gosh, I lost that one. But they rehydrate quickly as soon as a little bit of water hits them, and they'll look normal again with rain, of course. The more it rains, the better they look. And it can lose up to 95% of its moisture and survive in that dry state for a couple of years. And I thought, wow, there's a plant that turns brown, shrivels up, looks dead, and all it needs is a little bit of water, and it comes back to life. Now, that is quite a plant, and, you know, it's amazing. So, you know, like I say, a little bit of water hits it, they'll rehydrate very quickly. And I don't know, maybe a minute or 2 minutes or 10 minutes, I'm not sure. And they'll look normal, and it can lose up, like I say, up to 95% of its moisture and survive in that dry state for a couple of years. You know, just lay there for a couple of years. I don't know where they... I don't think we have any around here. We may in Douglas County. But this... they say that this fern is native from Maryland to the southern tip of Illinois and then south to Central and South America and even to Africa. I mean, this is a widespread dude. I don't know how it got all those places. But this fern, like I say, is an evergreen, and it grows on tree trunks, on branches, on fallen logs, on rocks. You know, there's a bare rock, and it'll grow on a bare rock. Why? I have no clue. But over 50 years of being in the nursery business, I've never seen one or even heard of one of these plants until I was in one of my plant books, and it was the fern section, so I thought, I'll talk about ferns here. And I came across this puppy, and I thought, well, that's interesting. And I also found out through my research that they grow in Florida wild, and they're very common in Florida. I mean, you know, people go, yeah, that's one of those dead ferns that come back to life again. So... But if you want to create an interesting corner in your landscape, think about plants that offer food. You know, like, how about a blueberry hedge? You ever think of a blueberry hedge with a strawberry ground cover underneath it or in between the blueberries? I mean, they're both pretty. They both look really well. And both of these plants are very, very hardy and require minimal maintenance for healthy growth and high productivity. They like a lot of sun, so don't put them in the shade. I mean, they'll grow in the shade, but they won't be very productive. And both of these need summertime watering about once a week at a minimum. And when you do it, you give them a good soak, but don't overwater them. And like I say, always feel the soil to make sure that it isn't totally dry or totally saturated. And that's something that I alert my listeners to. And when I was running the nursery back a year or so ago, they would get that lecture. As I walked around, they wanted this tree and this shrub, and they wanted to see this, and they wanted to see that. And I said, well, how you plan on watering it? Oh, well, we have a sprinkler system. I said, well, the sprinkler system hit these things? Oh, yeah, yeah. And how often does the sprinkler system come on? You know, just ask them, you know, being a detective here, a plant detective. And so it's on every day or it's on every other day. And I said, well, if it's on every day in this particular plant, it's going to be watered way too much and it's not going to live. So you have to make some kind of a special adjustment to your sprinkler so it doesn't hit this tree or shrub or hedge or whatever they've got. And, you know, once a week watering is okay, but every day watering would be a real setback, and you'd be wasting your time and money in buying this plant, this tree, this shrub, whatever it is. And, you know, kind of give them a real lesson in real life landscaping and real life planting and how plants actually grow. You know, it is the beginning of May, and today has been a beautiful day. I don't care what Kyle says. and I think that the frost danger isn't going to be a problem to newly planted vegetable gardens. I was surveying my vegetable garden today with my wife, and we were looking at the soil, and we planted a couple of some vines along one of our fences, and the soil was, you know, barely moist. And the deeper you went down, like if 6-8 inches, it was a little bit more moist, so I knew that it wasn't totally dried out. But whatever we planted, we gave them a shot of water, and just to kind of, you know, settle them in and make sure there were no air pockets or anything like that. But if you start planting your vegetable garden now, and I think you could. I think we're pretty much frost free. I don't know what Kyle's going to say on his next weather report, but I think we're pretty much frost free, because where I live, it's out in the countryside out there. It's in a canyon, and we don't get a full day of sun in our canyon because of the mountains on both sides of us. We'll get sun in there, oh gosh, maybe 9 o'clock in the morning, and it's in the shade at 4:30, 4:45 in the afternoon. So there's, you know, a good 8 hours in there, and that's all they actually need, and they do real well. And thankfully, because of how our sunlight and our heat go, I don't have to water as much to keep everything alive and healthy and growing well. Our garden, it's a raised bed kind of situation with really super good soil in it, and it drains very, very well. So I'm not worried about overwater, but, you know, the sunlight, it might hit it for 7 or 8 hours. That's about it. But it produces an abundance of vegetables. I mean, if I ate any more green peppers or onions and potatoes, I could start a fruit stand out there on the highway and sell them by the sackful. But we, in our garden, we choose what we want to eat, and we grow that which is usable, what we're going to use. Tomatoes is a big thing. My wife loves to make salads with tomatoes, and then you get sliced tomatoes that are fresh, and And, you know, it seems like we never run out. We never run out. I said, we still got tomatoes. It's like October, you know. Oh, yeah, we still got a few on a couple of the vines out there, and they're looking really good. I'm going to probably pick them in a couple of days, says my wife. And sure enough, in a couple of days, we got more fresh tomatoes. And here it is, October 3rd or something like that. So gardens in Douglas County are premium things. I mean, they really, really do a good job. We have an excellent climate here. We get a few surprises from time to time, we might get a sneaky frost that comes in there after we planted the garden and it's been growing for a week. But that's not the usual case. That's a very rare occurrence, because once you get after the first part of May or toward the end of April, we're pretty safe all the way around as far as the weather is concerned. But if you wait another month, you'll still produce a good crop of veggies. But get started early if you can, so that they'll live. And they'll do. But I have planted gardens out there as late as August and still had good success. And the reason for the lateness of the planting was something wasn't ready, or I was too busy, or, you know, there was a lot of different things that were kind of getting in the way. And I needed to do some extra work in some other places on my ranch, but this was good. And so even as late as August, I was planting gardens, and by, oh gosh, end of September, first of October, you know, the weather is still good. It's still, you know, 75-ish, maybe 78 degrees during the day, and, you know, it only goes down to maybe 40 at night or 43, something like that. I've got a temperature gauge on my front porch, and I look at it several times a day, like first thing in the morning when I'm leaving, and then last thing at night after I've run the dog up the mountain and back and check things out in the ponds and all that. I take another look at it, and just to see what the temperature range was that day. Excuse me. And if you don't have something like that, it's a good idea to get one, just so that you can relate to the weather pattern and the warmth and that kind of thing. But like I say, I planted those gardens as late as August and still had good success. So if you are new to planting a veggie garden, number one, don't overwater. How many times have you heard that on this radio show? Probably 1,000 times. Or over-fertilize your garden. You know, a little bit goes a long way. And I'm guilty of over-fertilizing, trust me. And I've learned from my stupid mistakes about, oh, you don't give them that much. You just lightly sprinkle it around through the bed. But I always get a slow-release garden fertilizer. And slow-release means when the moisture hits it, just a small portion of the actual ingredient actually gets down into the soil. And it'll do wonders for you. And another thing, if you're new to the garden club, don't overplant. Too many plants for a first-time garden is a lot of work, and you'll go, and it might discourage you because you're trying to work this big garden that you thought you were going to feed the neighborhood on, but it doesn't go that way. Just grow what you like, grow what you'll eat, and don't grow too much of any one thing, because then you'll have to store it, freeze it, dry it out, and you'll have to do something with it, and you're going to create a lot more work for yourself. So you can try a variety of veggies that you'll actually eat, and you'll be surprised at how well you'll do. And as you get experience in your garden, it's going to get better for you every year, because you're going to learn things that you didn't know before. And most of the things I've learned through making mistakes. And I go, no, what did I do that for? I'm supposed to know better, but sometimes I make mistakes.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be back okay. In a moment on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, 4:23. I went outside for a moment and actually thought it was kind of a little cool outside.
Cool?
Yeah.
It's not cool. It's just right.
No, it felt cool. Yesterday felt really good, 85.
Yeah, you like those hot temperatures.
Well, see, 85 is not hot. 85 is mildly warm.
Did you cut my sound off here? Because I'm not getting anything.
I cannot control what you're doing over there.
No, well, now it's back. You did something. He plays games with me, so I think I'm losing it, and he's playing with the knobs over here, you know, and going, gee whiz. Anyway, if you don't have a space, the space for a garden, you're in an apartment or a condo or something like that, you can also have a garden in a pot. You can get some large pots and put them on your deck or your porch and plant some tomatoes or peppers or whatever you like. You can try a few things and see how you do. And as long as you have a pot with drain holes, you're not going to overwater anything. And that pot should be a minimum of like 12 inches deep, 10 inches wide. That's the minimum size. If you want to get something larger, you can. And then you can put multiple vegetables in there and have a pretty nice garden. And you can place the pots on a patio or a deck that's in the sunshine for the, you know, most of the day. And go ahead and try some tomatoes. Tomatoes will grow in a soup can, for crying out loud. And, you know, try some tomatoes, green peppers, carrots, or whatever you like to eat. I mean, you can, if you've never done it before, give it a shot the first time. See how things go. And you can, you know, increase your knowledge and your growing capacity after your first time garden. And you can see, well, this is where I made a mistake. I didn't water enough, or I watered too much, or, you know, I had the wrong kind of soil. And just fix those things so you get the best results that you can. And just remember that soil needs to be like a combination of good, loose soil mixed with peat moss or fine grind bark or any kind of compost material so that it drains well, but yet it retains a bit of moisture for those root systems. And if you do that, your plants are going to do great. There's no two ways about it. They're tough. You know, vegetable plants, they look kind of wimpy in those little six packs when you buy them at Kmart or wherever. And you go, is this going to make it? Yeah, it'll make it. You want to, like on tomatoes, you see them, the six of them in a little tiny containers, and you pull them out. We always bury them deeper than, we always plant them deeper than what their actual root system is. And they'll grow more roots along the stem, and in no time at all, you think, gosh, how did those tomato plants get so big, for crying out loud? But like I say, gardens in pots on the front porch will work. And again, drain holes are very important, and good soil is very important. And you should have a pot that is at least 12 inches deep. That might be a little bit too much, but it's better to have too much in that regard. And 10 inches wide so you can get a few plants in there, more than one. And you get those pots on the patio or the deck where that sunshine will really, really get them growing. And like I say, you got tomatoes, green peppers, carrots, or, you know, whatever you like to eat. Just use like that combination of the soil. That's the whole secret to it. And, you know, keep the soil moist but not saturated, not like a swamp, because that's going to rot the roots and the plant will die. It's not going to get anywhere. It's just going to give it up. So, you know, anything you add to the plant, whether it's water or fertilizer, always be very skimpy on that, because you can always add more if you're not seeing any response. And you're not going to see a response, you know, in a day. But if you fertilize and the plants are, you know, kind of small, they just came out of those little containers, and you're looking at them and they're sitting there, and go ahead and give them a little bit of fertilizer and see what happens in a week. You're going to notice a difference if you did it correctly. And like I say, the same with the soil. Keep it damp but not soaked for the best results. You know, I've made the mistake of planting a garden too large. I'm sure some others have done that. See, and by doing so, I created a lot of work for myself. And not only did I plant too much, I planted it all at one time. You know, well, this is the day everything's all tilled up, and this is the day I'm going to plant the garden. So I just, you know, went out there and socked it to it. So the problem was, when harvest time came around, we had so much all come ripe and ready to go, kind of all in the same, you know, few day period there, maybe within the same week. And we had so much, that we gave a lot to our nursery customers that were coming in, and we still had too much growing in our field. So gardens need to be well planned so that there is no waste. You don't want to waste your time, waste your space, or anything like that. You want to keep it so that it's manageable for you. It's not a burden to you. And if you do the initial preparation, you know that the soil's good, and you've added maybe a little topsoil or a little potting soil to each hole, whatever. You know, if you have clay or shale or something like that, that's what's going to really help it and make it grow well. And shale, and just for the heck of it, shale is nutrient rich because it doesn't drain real well. And so there's a lot of nutrition in there. And when the plant roots hit that, it's going to absorb any of that good nutrition that's in there. So gardens this time of year, you'll enjoy it. And once you get a garden or two under your belt, you're gonna expand a little bit more. You're gonna try a few more things, and you'll see the success that you do have. And garden plants, vegetable plants, for the most part, you can water all of them about the same. It's just that too much is a bad thing, and just remember that. And with summer soon to arrive, you know, we'll be getting a lot of sun, and with the sun comes the heat. Now, just because it gets hot, don't think that, oh gosh, I need more water. Always, you know, check your soil every time you go out there in the garden to work on something, or just check it out. Pick a few random spots just to stick your finger down 3 or 4 inches and feel for moisture. Just dig a little hole beside your plant. And if it's moist, hey, you're good to go. If it's bone dry, hey, hit it with water. It's that simple. And so if you have a yard, say, with no trees to provide a little coolness in July and August, start shopping for a shade tree or two right now. That'd be a good thing to do. There's so many new houses that I see being built all over Douglas County, and you know, the house is built, and the contractor smoothed out the soil in the front and backyard, maybe, or just the front yard, and it's bare. I mean, the weeds haven't even come back yet, and you know, it's like, gee whiz, what do we do now? Well, you're gonna have to start planning your landscape. And, you know, trees, I think, are a number one item in any landscape, because they're going to give you shade in the long term. They make your yard look nice right off the bat. And your choices for trees are somewhat limited to the size of your yard. So keep that in mind. You don't want to overwhelm your yard with way too many trees. At first, say for the first 3 to 5 years, they look great. But from past year five and up, when they're getting a little crowded, and you're thinking, gee whiz, they're just, the branches on each tree are intertangling with the tree next to them, you know that you planted them a little bit too close. So, like I say, any tree is going to give you shade. So, like I say, your choices are limited, like I say, to the size of your yard. And if you have a small yard, you need a small growing shade tree. As simple as that. You have to give some thought about the rate of growth and what's the mature size of that tree going to be in, say, 5 or 10 years or 15 years down the road. And one thing you need to do is, if you're at a nursery or someplace that's selling trees, ask a lot of questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Say, how much water does this tree need? How much fertilizer does the tree need? How fast is it going to grow? How large is the canopy going to get? get some basic information so you don't overbuy and overplant your yard all in one fell swoop. If you you have a small front yard, I don't know what small is anymore, but you know, relatively small, it's not a great big yard, you might put a couple of trees in there on opposite sides of the yard just to see how they look. And in time, you can always add more. You can always add, you know, there's shrubbery to be added, there's lawns to be added, there's ground covers to be added. But you see, as those trees grow and their canopy expands and you're starting to get a little shade, you say, gosh, I could put another tree, or I could put a different type of tree in between those two. And let's say they're on opposite sides of the yard, so you got plenty of space in which to plant another tree. And you might want a flowering cherry or a dogwood or something that's going to be very pretty with lots of flowers on it. I've noticed, in the last week and a half, as I've driven around the county, the flowering cherries are just magnificent. And they have, there's one, my favorite is Quanson flowering cherry. It has a very full pink flower. And it's like the trees are so full of the flowers that the branches are kind of bowed over. They're not breaking to that point. But this year has been a remarkable year for showy flowers to come out, because we've had the right amount of rains, and we've had the right amount of sunny weather and warm weather. We haven't had any magnificent super freezes or anything like that. So that's what has produced this magnificent bloom on the trees. And another plant I've noticed, because it stands out like that, are the lilacs. Gosh, everywhere you drive down through a neighborhood and you see these big purple flowers and go, wow, what's that? Well, that's a lilac. And they come in deep purple, light purple, white, and some of them, I've seen pink ones, you know, so they're really, really pretty. So this spring is just been a phenomenal spring, because we haven't had that killing snow or killing frost for quite some time. But as I say, and I'll repeat, any tree is going to give you shade, so your choices are limited, like I say, to the size of your yard. And small yards need a small growing shade tree. And yeah, I got a big yard, you get a big one that's going to grow 30-40 feet in time. Just give some thought to the rate of growth and do some research prior to going to a plant place, prior to growing to a nursery, and finding out, hey, what do they actually have here, and how fast does this grow, and how do I water it, and how do I take care of this tree for maximum productivity and beauty. And the nursery person should have that information for you, and if they don't, they have books in their office that they can look those up and give you the information right out of the book. And the Western Garden Book is probably the best garden book I've ever seen. I've had one for, almost 30 years maybe. And it has everything from A to Z, and it's got a whole 900 pages of information on just about any garden need or landscape need, or, talks about trees and all the different species of trees, and all the subspecies that are within the species. So it's cool. Now, excuse me.
Well, actually, let's take that pause.
Okay.
And we'll take a break.
And we'll get back to maple trees.
All right. Yep. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, 437 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQAM.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon 4:40, 20 minutes away from the afternoon report, and our current temperature right now, well, gone up 77 degrees in Roseburg.
That is a nice
temperature.
A little
cool.
No, it's just right. If you have a question, please call 673-4464. We'll get you right on the air and you can ask your question. I'll give you all the information you want. Anyway, I'm talking about trees and gardens and stuff like that today, and because that's germane to our weather at this time. And just think about this. When I was talking about trees in the last segment, with summer soon to arrive, you know, it could arrive tomorrow. We never know, but hopefully it won't be for another month. But with summer soon to arrive, we're going to be getting a lot of sun. And with sun comes the heat. And, you know, if it never went over 85, I'd be pleased. But that's not the case. Well, it seems like we always get a few days where it hits 120 or something. Not 120, but 100. So if you have a yard, like I say, with no trees to provide a little coolness in July and August, start shopping for a shade tree or two now. Don't wait until you're cooking out there. Get it while the weather is still cool enough and the trees are just coming out, so that you're not going to disrupt the growth period, growth process too much. But any tree is going to give you shade, so your choices are limited to the size of your yard. If you got a big yard, hey, you need big trees or more trees. A small yard needs a small growing shade tree, and there are many of them out there. There's a lot of selections that you can look at and do some research on and find out, you know, how big does this thing actually get in time? How far away from the house or the patio should I plant it because I want some shade on my patio in the middle of summer? Those kinds of things are good. But you don't want to get a tree that's going to grow, you know, 60 feet tall and over the branches be over the middle of your house in no time at all. You don't want to do that. You want to avoid that as much as possible because over the years there have been so many landscapes that people have done themselves where they call and say, I got this tree, it's big branches hanging over the house and I don't know what to do, could you come out and look at them? And we've gone out there, had a look, and then we, you know, pruned them back, or if they were too big, I'd call Cowboy Tree Service or one of the bigger places that has a boom truck where they can get up there and do a better job than I could without a boom truck. So give, like I say, you have to give some thought about the rate of growth and the mature size of a tree in your yard. You got to have that information. It's just, that's how it is. For instance, maple trees are fast growing for the most part and very leafy. And when selecting a tree, take it into account, like I say, the fences, the neighbor's houses, the street. Don't want to make your neighbor mad by planting a tree right on the property line that's going to be messy for his yard, or his garden's going to be shaded because you planted a fast-growing maple tree in there or something all along those lines. So take into account, you know, how far away from the fence should I go? How far away is the neighbor's roof? He doesn't want his gutters full of leaves every year. How far should I take it back off the street if it's in the front yard? But do these calculations, find out how large this tree is eventually going to get, and plant it accordingly. Like there are maples that are going to grow quite large. So space has to be created, like I say, from the neighbor's yard and roof in the street, as well as your own roof. And you don't want to create a long-term problem for you or your neighbor. It's just good being a good neighbor. And when shopping for trees, like I said earlier, ask a lot of questions like, hey, how big is this thing going to get? How fast does it grow? And how strong are those branches if it grows that fast? And also ask how to keep it healthy, you know, like how much water does it need? How much fertilizer does it need? Should I prune it? Should I shape it? And if it's a fruit tree, yeah, the answer is you should be pruning every year and shaping it every year so you can actually pick the fruit without a 15-foot ladder. And my fruit trees in my garden, I think the tallest branches are about 8 feet, and I don't let them get any taller than that. So I prune those long branches back, and therefore the growth grows sideways, and the fruit is easier to pick. And I was like an hour before coming into the show, I was looking at that and saying, okay, I need to do this, this, and this, and this. And it's okay, the buds are swelling, but it doesn't do any damage to do minor pruning at this time of year. They'll just continue to grow. It's like cutting your fingernails or something like that. Again, when shopping for those trees, ask a lot of questions, like how big, how fast, how strong, and ask how do I keep it healthy, like how much water, how much fertilizer, how much pruning, how much shaping. And a good nursery person who has a lot of experience will be able to answer your questions and give you some good information. And I used to write down instructions for folks when we walked around the nursery and they wanted an apple tree and a prune tree and a maple tree for shade and that kind of thing. And I would write down the names, and I would write down planting instructions, watering instructions, fertilizing instructions. And this is how you do it. And this is, you follow these basic instructions and you're going to have a good tree. You're going to have a well-producing apple tree or cherry tree or whatever the heck kind of fruit tree you might have bought. You can make that shade tree gorgeous and spread it out by pruning some of the upper branches. Don't let it all grow up straight without pruning. You want to create some side branches there so your shade pattern reaches out sideways, not just straight up. And those are things, like I say, ask those questions and see what you want. Because a large, fast-growing tree should not be planted next to a structure, a driveway, a neighbor, or a street. You want to, if you have a small yard, hey, you want a small tree. It'll give you some shade, but it's going to fit your yard better. It's not going to be a hassle 5 years down the road. And you know, you need to think about, hey, how big is this going to be in 20 years or 30 years in the future before you even plant the thing? And like I said, a large yard can accommodate a large growing tree. But again, ask the seller for details on ultimate size, care, etc. Like how much water, how much fertilizer, how much pruning, all those kinds of things. Those are valuable to you to have a healthy tree that doesn't overtake your yard or your neighbor or your roof. And, you know, it's good. But I've listed a few of the smaller growing maples, for instance, that are beautiful. Trident maple, for instance, it grows about 20 to 25 feet, you know, right in there. It's a range. It has nice color, fall color variations of red, orange, and yellow. And it can make a nice tree to put near your patio because it doesn't overwhelm your patio, but yet provides you some shade and some coolness there. Some people don't think vine maple as a tree. They think it as a shrub, but it can be trained as a small shade tree for decks or patios. You could have it pretty close to a patio or a deck. It could overhang some of the branches could overhang the deck or the patio, but it's only gonna get to, maybe 10 feet, 15 feet. And it's beautiful, beautiful fall color. And it's a nice, it's a shrub actually, but you can prune that shrub into a nice tree. You might have to get a book on pruning, and it gives you illustrations on what to cut and what not to cut and when to cut and how to cut. And they're relatively inexpensive. And if you make a tree purchase, shrub purchase, whatever, pruning is something good to know about. Fertilization is something good to know good things about, and the watering processes of all these things. Another nice tree is a paper bark maple. It gets up to 25 feet tall, and it would be good for a patio shade tree. But you want to plant it out a ways. You know, you're not right next to the patio. You can, you know, like within 15 feet of the patio or 10 feet of the patio, but no closer than that. And it's going to give you shade. And you plant it on the western side or the southwestern side so that your shade is actually hitting where you want. Now, the native big leaf maple that we have growing by the thousands all over Oregon and Douglas County is a super large tree, big shade, but it needs room to grow, and it's not a good yard tree. It's in a regular size yard, it's not a good yard tree because you've planted too far away from your house, you're too close to your neighbor probably. But it's good for rural properties and not neighborhoods. But check them out, see what you think. And if you keep it pruned, I guess you can manage with that.
Now, that's not what I have, is it?
No.
I've just got a regular maple?
Yeah. Okay. You've got some, I don't know what variety it is, but if I was standing there, I could tell you.
I'll look for a tag.
Oh, yeah, I doubt if there's a tag. You mean that one that hangs over your roof?
No, that's not the maple. The maple is in back.
Oh, the big one in the back by the fence?
Right.
Oh, gosh. I'll look at it. I don't know.
I haven't seen a tag on it, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
4:51, final segment. When we come back, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Final segment, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. Here we are smack dab in the middle of the month of May.
Smack dab, huh?
Well, not quite in the middle. We're close.
Yeah.
And once I said that, I realized, well, it is the 7th, so that's not quite the middle.
Not quite the smack dab in it yet.
I don't know.
Wait till about the 15th.
Yeah, it sounded good at the time.
And you're on the
radio. Good thing I don't get paid to... Oh, no, wait, I do.
You don't get paid for being correct, right? Okay.
Oh. Ooh.
Okay, anyway, I'm talking about trees and
you can trust the media.
Shade trees, and there are many, many types of trees that will be shade for you. And I went through the bigger maples, but there are Japanese maple varieties that can grow to like 20 or 25 feet. They're very beautiful in their leaf coloring and their growth pattern with their branching patterns and all that. And their leaves, there's some that are light green, some that are dark green, some that are red, and some that are burgundy. And they're relatively medium growth. I won't say slow. Some of them are very slow. But there's not any that are real fast, so I'd say a medium. And you can put those close to a patio or a deck, and it'll decorate and not be a hassle for you, but provide you with a little bit of shade in time. So that's a good thing. And like I say, there's some out there that eventually get to 20 feet. But in the meantime, if you got a small shade tree next to your patio or deck and it gets up to 10 or 15 feet, it's providing you shade, provided it's on the western side or the south side of your patio. It doesn't do you any good for shade if it's on the north side. But think about it that way and kind of picture it before you go tree shopping, trying to picture what that would look like and how would it fit in your yard. That's always very important. Another nice shade tree, it's a bigger type of maple. It's called October Glory. And it gets pretty tall. It gets up there to 30, maybe 40 feet. And the fall color is magnificent. It's just really magnificent. Oranges and reds and yellows in the leaves in the fall and green during the growing season. The fastest maple that I have come up with, and this would be for ranches, rural homes that have plenty of room and won't be intruding on their neighbors because their neighbors are a quarter mile away or something like that. But it's not good for neighborhoods, and that's the silver maple. And faster than all get out, and it can grow 3-4 feet a year if you let it and fertilize it, and it's in good ground. But it'll grow at least 2 feet a year in blacktop, for crying out loud. But they provide a lot of shade. But like I say, it's for country homes. It's for homes that have acreage, and you don't have to put them anywhere near close to the house because they're going to grow so large, they're going to shade everything anyway. They're a nice tree for shade. And they're relatively inexpensive, even large ones. And then the last maple I have on my list is a sugar maple. And think about maple sugar syrup, huh? It's a good yard tree. And I'm not sure on how you derive the sugar from it and make maple syrup, but I'm sure there are recipes in some books out there that you could find that out really quick. Then there's the oaks, a few of the oaks. Oaks are slower growing than maples. Maples are pretty fast all the way around. But oaks, they're relatively slow. And like I say, they don't like water for the most part. I mean, they're not going to do well in a very, very wet spot. But most all of them need well-drained soil with full sun. And locally, we have the Oregon white oak and California black oaks, and those are what's decorating our hillsides. And they have, some of those hillsides are very steep and rocky and have zero soil. Yet these oaks grow like champions all the time. So if you have a dry yard with a lot of sun, these two oaks will grow wild for you right in your backyard. But just give, like I say, just give them a lot of room and it'll be okay. Then something more tame would be a scarlet oak. Scarlet oak, or a pin oak, they do well in Douglas County. Beautiful leaves, beautiful foliage, and they're available in some nurseries, and they're very tough. But all oaks are tough. And northern red oak, it's a good fast grower for an oak, good for big yards, and it gets very large. And that's just a small sample of what you're going to find in our area, and I hope that helps you out in some of your tree selections, and you'll be pleased with what you see and what you buy. And I think we're out of time.
In about a minute.
A minute? Well, should I sing a tree song? Or what?
Oh, God. We would like to maintain our ratings.
Your ratings go way up if I sang a tree song.
No, I don't believe that would be accurate.
That really hurts my feelings. You know that.
Well, No. Not going to sing on the radio.
Okay, get your questions ready for next week. Since nobody called this week, I'm ready for some questions for next week. So please don't hesitate. I love questions, and I'll give you an answer, a good one.
All right, Mike Wunder's Lawn and Garden Show out of time for today. Back next week at 4 o'clock. The podcast up in just a bit at 541radio.com. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.